Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Clammy hands, dry mouth, pounding heart, a scenario we can all perhaps relate to, but understanding what these signs mean can be confusing. Is it excitement? Is it stress? Is it fear? Is it anger? Well, as part of a new series on the programme, Professor Ian Robertson, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Trinity College, is going to help us to understand all of the big emotions. So back to basics, which is very worthwhile, Ian. You're very welcome. I'm delighted we're starting this new series with you. We're going to talk today about anger.
Yeah.
What is it and what purpose does it serve?
Okay, so anger is, first of all, let's consider the purpose. All emotions have a purpose, and their fear's purpose is to save us. Disgust, its purpose is to stop us poisoning ourselves. Anger is a negotiation tool. It's a way of us getting our way with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a dog growling. And dogs seldom actually come to fight, but the growl is an anger signal. So anger is our signal to try and get our way. It's a negotiation tool. And the thing is, these symptoms you described, the beating heart, etc., you know, I had them last year and I was sitting at home alone, dry mouth, beating heart, churning stomach. And you might say, well, what emotion do you think I was having? And you'd probably say, I was anxious or frightened. I was like, no. Scotland had just beat England at rugby, a very rare event. So I was excited.
It's excitement.
But here we have a funny thing. The symptoms of anger are identical in the body and to some extent in the brain are identical to those of fear and of excitement. And they only crystallise into a particular emotion by the label we put on them, by the context we're in. And so what these symptoms are your body and brain preparing for action, and they don't really care what kind of action it is. And the action in question, when it becomes anger, is to negotiate your way out of a situation or to negotiate something for yourself in the world.
So can you explain to us then what's happening in our brain when we experience those physical manifestations?
Sure. So our brain is our body produces the stress hormone cortisol, which actually helps us perform better and remember better short term. It produces the chemical messenger noradrenaline in our brain. And up to a point, that actually helps us think more clearly and focus and behave better. When it becomes too much, like we're too angry or too stressed, it interferes with our brain function. Our attention becomes narrowed. In the case of fear, it's difficult for us to think of other interpretations or other possibilities. And similarly with anger, all we can see is the slight that's been, the insult that's been given, or the thing that, and
or that we that, perceive,
yeah, that we perceive,
given. Yeah.
And so the blinkers come down, and that's when the red mist comes, and you sometimes end up saying or doing things that you might later regret.
Yes, and is it always a negative emotion, anger?
No, that's the interesting thing.
Has a bad rep.
Yeah, it's got a bad rep. It used to be clustered with the negative emotions like fear and depression. But actually, the brain science is suggesting it's more linked to some of the positive emotions. But, you know, here's two interpretations of anger. The American poet Maya Angelou said, you know, anger is a bitter, bitterness is an acid that eats upon the host, but anger burns it all clean. It's a pure and positive thing. And then Mark Twain said, you know, anger does more harm to the vessel that contains it than it does to the person outside. So who's right? Is it Maya Angelou or Mark Twain?
Well, does it depend on what you do with the
exactly,
anger?
Exactly, which is what Aristotle said. Aristotle said, you know, anger.
Me and Aristotle, eh?
Oh, I wish I was clever enough to be a philosopher, but I'm not. You know, Aristotle said, becoming angry is easy, but become angry with the right person, for the right reason, at the right level, in the right way, for the right purpose, is incredibly hard, but very, very powerful. So both Maya Angelou and Mark Twain are both right. But anger is a dangerous emotion. It's like nuclear energy. It can do fantastic things if it's channeled properly, but it can cause havoc if it's not. And that the thereby lie these symptoms. It's very easy, because anger that's not targeted or focused can cause these symptoms in the body, it easily transmutes into anxiety. And we see this in people who have had post-traumatic stress, who have maybe been in a bad accident or been injured in some way. Those who long-term feel angry about what's happened to them, you know, feel it's been unfair, they end up worse off than people who are not feeling angry. Why? Because feeling angry in general about how the world has treated you is a recipe for continual, ongoing anxiety and stress. You feel angry, you feel anxious. You feel anxious, you feel angry. So unless anger is channeled to a specific person or group with a specific request of that person or group, it is the acid that corrodes inside and not the burning, the pure fire that
cleans
the positive emotion we're talking about.
So what do we do? How do we make sure that it doesn't turn into that never-ending circle of anxiety and anger?
Yeah. So the main thing is catch yourself, try and work out what it is you're feeling angry about. And say, I'm feeling angry. It's unjust, the situation I'm in, how the cards that life has dealt me. Or I'm angry with the political system. They're all something or other. That kind of anger is really, really damaging to the person who's angry. Because it's not focused on, I want... So, for instance, you may feel angry about the state of this country and say childcare. You know, childcare is a real problem for young parents. And you say, I feel angry at these politicians. But actually, I saw a big demonstration in town a few months ago of all the childcare workers, you know, very powerful, you know, not too angry, but angry enough demonstration that was very powerful because at the specific request of the government, of a group of people, and so they knew what they were asking and they knew whom they were asking it of. And that is Maya Angelou type of anger. That's an important, powerful, that's the anger of political campaigns that's channeled. It's not the anger of Twitter, of the awful abuse, you know, taking revenge on people that you feel diffusely angry at, any people in power, for instance. That stuff corrodes you inside. That makes you feel worse. It's really bad for your well-being.
So find a safe and productive way to express your anger.
Exactly. And for instance, it may be more locally in your relationships. It may be someone who's annoying you at work or in a partnership. There's maybe something there. It's a question of being in control by saying, well, what is it I want this person to do or this group of people to do or not to do? How am I going to express that? You have to rehearse it in your mind. You have to reduce these symptoms using your breathing. Breathe in for four and out for six. You have to, and the thing is, take control. I'm an irritable kind of person. And it's very easy. If someone speaks angrily to me, I tend to respond angrily. That gives them control over my mind. If I manage to respond calmly to an angry comment to me, or that gives me control. So this is where the breathing, the counting to 10 before your response, and the thinking of what precisely is it I want? Who am I asking what of?
And do those strategies work if you're already in the rage, if you're in the middle, or do you need to catch it before it gets to that point?
It's much easier to catch it before you get. It's very hard because of what happens to your brain when you're in this angry, hyper-aroused state. It's much harder to think. It's very easy to just... These are habits of response, you know, that you tend to follow. So you have to practice beforehand. And that's if you're anticipating a situation where you think there might be an angry interchange. You want to rehearse it in your mind beforehand. Imagine the thing happening that makes you angry in your mind's eye and practice in your mind's eye not responding to it, counting to 10, doing your breathing, thinking, okay, I can take control here by responding in a calm way to an angry provocation.
I assume there's a risk as well of misdirecting your anger. So unless you interrogate yourself and try to understand what exactly is it that I am angry at, that you could just be firing missiles all over the place.
Absolutely. And it happens all the time, particularly if the people who really make you angry, you're scared to express your anger to them. then yes, other people in the family or in the surroundings may get the flack.
Kicking the dog.
Kicking the dog, exactly. So anger is a very positive emotion if it's channeled properly.
Okay, and that's just the first of the emotions that we're going to talk about. So we're going to come to them over the coming weeks. And
absolutely.
We'll have all of our problems solved, Ian,
absolutely,
by the time we get
absolutely
to the end. Thank you very much. Lovely to have you here again. That's Professor Ian Robertson. And